In 1901, the first Nobel Peace Prizes were awarded to two men. One was a French economist who was recognized for his lifelong work in promoting international peace conferences, and the other man was a Swiss humanitarian who founded the Red Cross. Since then, many prominent people, including Albert Einstein, Teddy Roosevelt, Winston Churchill, Martin Luther King Jr., they've all been recipients of the Nobel Peace Prize. Alfred Nobel is the man behind the prestigious award, and he was a brilliant inventor and businessman. In 1867, he invented dynamite, which was widely used in construction as well as warfare, and it amassed him a huge fortune. He ended up owning nearly 100 factories that made explosives, and he had 355 patents for various detonators and explosive devices. The part of his story that gets really interesting is when in 1888, his brother died from a heart attack in France, and the French newspaper mistakenly wrote an obituary for him instead, for Alfred. They went on to write a blistering obituary, and they labeled him the Merchant of Death. They accused him of amassing wealth and through innovations that were designed to mutilate and kill. Though the error was quickly fixed, Alfred was so shaken by reading his own obituary that he grew so fixated on his legacy. He ended up revising his will, and he wanted to direct the bulk of his fortune toward a noble cause that would shield his name from future condemnation. The newspaper mishap is frequently credited as the catalyst for his philanthropy, and the Nobel Peace Prize was born. So today I wanted to take this story and pose the question: if your obituary was written right now, what would it say? How do you want to be remembered? And what legacy do you want to leave behind? As many of you know, we had a memorial service for James Feltz today. It was a beautiful service. And it's crazy because I feel like I just saw him and I was just saying goodbye to him and wishing him a good week. And it's amazing when you go to these services, you don't really realize the way that they've impacted other people. You don't realize the stories that people have, and it's too late then to talk to him about it. So it's good to go to these memorial services. Death is part of life, and it's something we'll all have to face. Unless Jesus returns in our lifetime, you know, I'm sure sometimes it feels like he could return, but I'm sure every generation since he's been here has probably said the same thing. So if our fate ends up like every other human's in history, someday it'll be our name read at that memorial service. It'll be my name. It'll be your name. I'm going to ask you to take a moment and picture your own memorial service. Who's in the room? Who's saying a few words? Are people sad? Are people celebrating? Most importantly, what is being said about your life? Did you leave a legacy you are proud of? I know we heard last week about the legacy of our church, but what personal legacy are you leaving? Did people say that you followed Jesus with everything that you had? Were you a light in the world? Let's go to Psalm 90, verse 12. Psalm 90, verse 12. It's short, but very powerful. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Wisdom is understanding that we all only have a certain amount of time, and how we use that time is valuable. Now, I'm not trying to be morbid here, but you know, there's a certain amount of Sabbaths that we all have left. There's a number. There's a number to how many times you're going to walk through that door again. There's a certain number of how many feasts you'll attend. Everything is numbered. I've seen some sad posts on the internet say, you know, at some point your parents, they put you down when they were carrying you. They put you down and they never picked you back up. The amount of times you hug your mom or your dad, those are numbered. Trust me. We never know the last time in this life we will see someone. The last time you'll share a laugh together, or just a simple have a good week. I go back to my original question. How do you want to be remembered? What legacy do you want to leave behind? You know, it's funny because the world sees legacy as something different. They see it as what you've accumulated, like money, power, and things. You know, I got to be honest, in my 20s, those are the three things that I cared about most, was money, power, and things. And now that I'm so wise and old in my 30s, I've started to realize that the world's got everything backwards. There's so much more to life than money and power. Let's turn to Psalm 49, verse 10. Psalm 49, verse 10. I'd like to turn to make sure I put the right scripture. It says, "For he sees wise men die, likewise the fool and the senseless person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inner thought is that their houses will last forever, their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, though in honor, does not remain." You know, as we read here, it's, you know, we can amass a lot of wealth and leave it to people. We can name things after ourselves, but we do not remain. As it says in 1 Peter 1, verse 24, "Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever." So I keep going back to my question. What do you want to be remembered for? What kind of legacy do you want to leave? We can all agree that our goal is to be like Jesus Christ and to follow his example. So how do we leave that legacy of eternal value? I believe there are two ways to do this. And Jesus spells it out perfectly and leaves that example. The first is to lead a life of love. In John 13, verse 34, it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also have love for one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." We can't expect our obituaries to say that we are true followers of Jesus Christ if we do not have that love for each other. And I know that's extremely hard. I mean, just try driving to Atlanta and you tell me that you loved every single person on the way in. I can't do that. You know, try to have a political conversation with someone, even in our own church, and try to say that you love them after you even don't agree with them. That's hard. Love sounds so easy sometimes, and yet it can be so hard. The other way we can leave a legacy of eternal value is to live a life of service, as we heard in last week's messages. We are to be true servants of Jesus Christ and God the Father. As Jesus says in Matthew 20, verse 28, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This life we have now is just a test run of what's to come in the kingdom. And it says that at the end of Revelation 22, verse 3, "And his servants shall serve him." You know, we leave a legacy behind every day, how we interact with God, how we interact with each other, I'm going to end with one final scripture, Acts 20, verse 24. That's Paul saying, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." You know, God started something in your life, which is why you're sitting here today. And it's our job to finish it. It's our job to finish it with joy. So what do you need to finish? Is there something you still need to accomplish? And I go back to my original question. How do you want to be remembered, and what kind of legacy do you want to leave behind? Hope you have a happy Sabbath.